I thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus and the one act that bought all of your people for all time. May you be glorified this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Guys, I really want you to understand this section of Scripture. This is a theology-shaping text in your Bible. And I know people that get this text wrong, and we can go to dozens of other places through your Bible where because they get this chapter wrong, they're wrong about all of them. I mean, this is a very important text for us to wrap our brains around. And so I'm really excited about it today as we come to it and I get the opportunity to look at these verses with you. And like I already said, we started this section last week because really it begins in verse 12 where Paul begins to break down this comparison of Adam, one man who through one act affected many, and Jesus, one man who through one act affected many. But the bigger picture here is Paul is still teaching us about the doctrine of justification, right? We haven't yet left the idea of what is the doctrine of justification. And justification is when God declares one as righteous. God declares a sinner, an enemy of him, and he declares them as righteous. And in this text, Paul is really showing us what that is, what that idea of justification is. And he wants you to see it very clearly. He's showing you Christ's redemptive work and trying to show you that our justification, when God declares one is right with them, it is so much more than what Adam lost. It's greater than that. It's beyond that. It doesn't just get us back to where Adam was. It's much more than that. And that's why the text uses the language that it does as you go through it. And that's why it is such a glorious text in your Bible when we actually study it. Justification, here, I'll explain this as we go through the sermon today, but understand this. Justification isn't just forgiveness of sin. It's also the imputing of righteousness. And like I said, we'll pick that apart a little bit further. But that should draw us to a place of worship. Paul wants us to be amazed at justification and be filled with a heart of worship because of this justification and this, yes, forgiveness of sin, but also imputing of the righteousness of Jesus Christ into our lives. And so here's what he's doing in the text. In order to help us understand that justification, he's trying to compare it. He's trying to say, let me tell you about something else that affected lots and lots of people by one act. And so he's comparing the one act of Adam to the one act of Jesus, because the one act of Adam affected many, many people in a certain way. And he's using that as a comparison next to the one act of Jesus so that he can show you that the one act of Jesus is so far better, is so much greater, and even gains us so much more than what Adam lost. That's the idea here in the text. Sometimes when describing something, in this case, Paul's describing the doctrine of justification. Sometimes when you're describing something, it's helpful to compare it to something else. That's what's happening in the text. Let me see if I can show you an example of this, okay? Thought about this week. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. This is a guitar, okay? Clint plays it very well. I'm gonna leave that to Clint because he's really good at that, okay? But if I asked you to describe this guitar for me, right? What are some things that we would say? As we're looking at this guitar, we would look at it and we would say, well, I mean, it looks like a guitar. Not real good at this, but you know what I mean? As you look at it, it looks like it's made of wood. It has a wood color to it. You know, some kind of lighter wood, whatever it is. We could ask Russell to describe what type of wood this is for us. But it's a lighter color wood. That's the idea behind it. It looks pretty standard to me. It has this, you know, black piece of wood down here. They call that a bridge. And it looks like it has six strings on it. So it's wood. It's metal. You know, there's a little bit of fanciness up here, but it's a guitar. That's how you describe a guitar. But let me see if I can help you now. This is my guitar, okay? Now, when you look at this guitar, does it help you further describe this guitar? Let's see. Now as we look at them, wait a minute, they're shaped a little bit different. This guitar has a cut right here. This guitar does not. This guitar has, yes, that lighter wood color. This guitar has a black sunbursting into the same light wood color in the middle. This guitar has silver knobs on the top. This guitar has golden knobs on the top. This guitar, you know, as you look, pretty similar. Definitely some different wood grains to them. But when you compare the two side by side, you now start to notice a lot more about this guitar because you're seeing what this one has that this one doesn't. Or you're seeing what this one has that this one doesn't. That's what Paul's doing in this text. He's taking the one act of Adam and he's holding it up next to the one act of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, when you hold these two things next to each other, it helps you describe it better. And so therefore, he's describing to us the act of Adam that affects many. Look at verse 14 that we covered last week. Who is a type of him who was to come. And he's comparing it to Jesus Christ, saying, look, Christ also affects the many. Just as Adam affected all with sin, Jesus Christ affects all believers with righteousness. And Paul's going to continue that comparison next week in verse 18. Look at what it says. 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, just as one man, Adam, and one act in his sin, his offense against God, condemned all of mankind, even so, in the same way, that's what that means, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Technically, I'm not going to teach you that verse till next week, even though I'm kind of breaking it down for you right now. You see how he's comparing the one act of Adam that affected many to the one act of Christ that affects many. That's the idea of the whole passage from verse 12 all the way through verse 21. But Paul is such a good teacher. He is an expert teacher. And the more I study him, the more I'm amazed by him as he teaches. And so while he's giving this comparison of Adam versus Christ and showing you how both of them are similar in one act affecting many, that's why verse 12 says this, therefore, just as through one man, that just as of verse 12 connects all the way to verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so. The just as of 12 is connected to the even so of 18 and ties together this whole text into this comparison of how Adam affected many and Christ affects many. However, in today's text of verses 15, 16, and 17, Paul, who's so good at teaching, says, I don't want you for even one second to think that I'm saying Adam is as good as Christ. So this text is another parenthesis, essentially, in the text, where Paul is going to now contrast what Adam accomplished with what Christ accomplished. So let me go back to my guitar analogy here for a second, right? It's like this, okay? Describe this guitar. Okay, you can better describe that guitar when I hold it up next to this guitar. However, I don't for one second want you to think that Clint's guitar is as nice as my guitar. So let's put this little parenthesis in there, and that's what verses 15, 16, and 17 are. That's our text for today, where Paul is going, hold on, the analogy that I'm giving you here, right? The comparison that I'm giving you, it makes sense. You can see that. Yes, Adam affected many. Yes, Christ affected many. Adam's a type of Christ in that way. But verses 15, 16, and 17 are shouting at us to say, wait a minute, Adam is nothing compared to what Christ is. Christ is so much more. Paul does not want anyone to see Adam as on the same level as Jesus Christ. And so he gives us these three verses that we have today to help us properly break down this analogy. And here we have contrasts. He's contrasting what Adam did versus what Christ did. In fact, there's three big contrasts that come from these three verses of verses 15, 16, and 17, showing us how Jesus is much more. Remember, that's your main theme through all of this. Jesus Christ is much more, or so far greater for all those in him than what Adam accomplished for all those in him. So, before we walk through the text, let me just give you some key words. There's a few key words here that'll really help you grasp this and break this down in your brains. The first one is the word not like. If you like to write in your Bible, maybe underline that. If you go to verse 15, look. But the free gift is not like. Right there in verse 15. You see it again in verse 16. And the gift is not like. So you see, where while he's comparing Adam and Jesus and their one act affecting many, he now takes these few verses to show how they're not alike. He's contrasting the two. They're not like. Both affected many, but they're not alike in how they affect many or in the level of their effect. Because that's the next line you need to focus on. The next key word in this text is the two words, this much more. You'll see that in verse 15. He says, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more. There it is. I circled that one in my Bible just because it helps me that way. You'll see it again in verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more. And so with those key words, that's where you're really starting to see how these three contrasts come together. Christ is not like Adam. Christ is much more effective than Adam. And that's the whole point of these three verses as you walk down through them. So once again, the main point of verses 12 through 21 is what Christ did for all those in him is much more or so far greater than what Adam did for all those that are in him. That's why verse 9 says much more. And verse 10 says much more. And verse 15 says much more. And verse 17 says much more. And verse 20 says much more. Because Christ's work is superior. It's greater But let's really see that today as we pick apart these contrasts in verses 15, 16, and 17. Contrast number one, look at verse 15. This is the contrast of an offense versus grace. Adam's offense versus Christ's grace. And he says this in the text, verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. Now that's simple. We can understand that, church. There is a huge difference between a free gift and an offense given on somebody. The offense that comes with being in Adam is deserving of death. We talked about that last week. All people start in Adam. And because all people start in Adam, all people die. Adam sins, and when Adam sinned, he condemned the entirety of humanity. But the free gift that Christ provides is gracious despite what man deserves. You see, the death that comes from being an Adam is deserved death. We've earned that. The gift that comes as Christ graciously provides life to his people comes despite what man deserves. Even though they deserve death, God has given them grace. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about here as we go down through this text. Look at verse 15. Let's slow that down a little bit. It says, but the free gift. Let's define that. That's what Paul's talking about. That's our justification. When one is declared righteous by God, when one is made right with him, go back to verse 9, where he very clearly says that, much more than having now been justified by his blood. When one is justified by God through the blood of Christ, what that verse continues is that means that we have been reconciled to God instead of crushed by God. And being saved by Almighty God is an amazing gift. You don't deserve it. Do you understand your salvation that way? The fact that God saved you is not because he owed it to you, but because he is a gracious gift giver. That's what Paul wants you to see. And so he says, the free gift. And he's talking about your salvation, or when one is justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now he says, that free gift is not like the offense. The word offense here is the idea of transgression. It's one's transgression. And what that literally means, if you break it down, it means to misstep. So you missed your step. But this is a gigantic misstep, right? Adam went off the path and fell. That's this transgression. This offense, that's why we call it the fall of man. Because Adam's misstep, his transgression, was to step off the path and fall on his face completely, and he corrupted all of mankind in the process. That's this offense. It's not like the offense. The offense corrupted the whole of humanity. Every single human being alive, which was Adam and Eve, were totally corrupted to the core. And as they reproduce corrupt children who inherited the sin of Adam as he continues to pass that on from generation to generation to generation, because all, the entirety of humanity was corrupted at the offense. But the free gift is not like the offense. Look at verse 15. For if by the one man's offense many died. Now pay attention here. If by the one man's offense many people died. Do you see how clear that is? I don't know why this is as widely argued as a point as it is in the theology world, because it's so clear from the text. One man's offense, that means Adam's sin, many died. It doesn't say from Adam's sin, Adam died. It says many died. That's humanity. Adam's sin killed humanity. We could say it like this. All people die because of Adam's sin. And the verb tense here is very interesting when you actually look at the text. It says, if by one man's offense, many died. It doesn't say many will die. It says they died in Adam. It happened. All those in Adam are dead. If by one man's offense many died, here's your glorious key word in the text, much more. That's your theme as you come into this comparison. Christ is much more. He's far greater. And so in Adam, many died. But much more, the grace of God and grace by the gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Dude, this is so great. Christ, this is saying that Jesus Christ is much more powerful to save than Adam was to doom. Adam doomed mankind. Christ is so much more powerful in his ability to save. Adam affected mankind with sin. Let me see if I can help you understand this, because Paul wants us to understand justification here. And so he says, the grace of God, the God bestowing his gracious gift, and the grace by the gift of the one man, Jesus Christ. So God's grace, God's gift, given through the one act of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ purchased on the cross, abounded. That's an important word. Abounded to many. So look at it like this. This is really important. Adam affected mankind with sin. So what needs to happen because of the sin that is credited to our account? We're born in sin, enemies of God, affected by Adam. What needs to happen because of that? We need forgiven, right? We need forgiveness to happen into our lives. And so forgiveness is the cleansing of sin. It's the wiping away of that sin in somebody's life. Forgiveness. But listen, Christ does much more than that. You understand that? That's the beauty of the text. What Adam did was put us in debt, in sin. Christ forgives, that wipes that out, but does much more than just wipe out the offenses and the forgiveness. That's justification. When justified, Christ doesn't just forgive us of sin. He credits us with his own righteousness. That's what this is talking about. That's why when you come and it talks about the grace of God and the grace by the gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. He didn't just wipe out our sin. He gifted us with an abundance greater than that. His own righteousness. Imagine it like this. This is really easy. Imagine that you're in debt, okay? You owe $1 million. For whatever reason, right? Forgiveness, if somebody comes and says, I forgive you of your debt, that wipes out the negative $1 million and puts you where? At zero. That's where Adam was. That's where Adam started. That was Adam's place before God. He was a zero. And then he sinned. And so he's at negative 1 million, right? We're making the analogy up here. But when Christ comes, he doesn't just, you know, through Christ's one act on the cross for all of his people, he doesn't just wipe out the sin and bring them back to zero where Adam was. He puts a positive credit into their account. He doesn't just forgive us our sin. He credits us with his righteousness. So he doesn't take you from negative 1 million to zero. He takes you from negative 1 million to positive 1 million. He wipes out your sin, forgiveness, you're at zero. And then he credits you with his own righteousness and puts you at positive whatever, right? Because that is Jesus. He is much more powerful to save. What we lost in Adam doesn't compare to what we've gained in Christ. Do you see that? Do you understand that? That's the comparison. That's why Paul says, let me hold up these two guitars, right? Let me hold up Adam next to Christ so that you can see what was lost in Adam and you can see what was gained in Christ and you can see that it's so far better than it even was. This was God's plan all along. There's one more thing to marvel at here in this first comparison. Verse 15, in its whole, it says, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So we're all dying because we deserve that in Adam, but then there's a grace that's greater than just wiping out our sin. It credits the righteousness of Jesus also to us and abounds to the many after what Christ does, and that's for all those that are in Christ, all those that are true believers. And that means one really important thing for us here. Adam's effect on mankind, which was condemnation, can be and was, for all true believers, nullified through the more powerful work of Jesus Christ. What Adam did was erased and added to so that we are better off than Adam ever even was through the work of Christ. That's why your Bible says, there is therefore, right? What did we earn? What do we do in Adam? Condemnation. But the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because what Adam got us was nullified in the person of Jesus Christ. At the cross, Jesus Christ totally saved all of his people for all time. It was a real salvation that took place as Jesus Christ died for the sins of every single true believer, paid for them. The wrath of God is gone against them. There is no condemnation left for any of those people. And the evil that came from Adam was more than conquered in the person of Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. It says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus Christ abolished death for all of his people. He brought life for all of his people. He reversed what Adam did. He nullified what Adam did. Adam's effect could be nullified through the much more powerful work of Jesus Christ. However, absolutely nothing can nullify the saving work of Jesus Christ in saving his own people. And so while Adam's work and all those in Adam, which was all of us at one point, doomed, condemnation, but Christ nullified that for all of his people, and that can't be changed. That's why verse 15 says the gift abounds to many. The gift of Jesus Christ is abundant. It abounds on those that are truly his. Nothing can ever take it away. This is what Jesus was referring to in John chapter 10. Listen to 27, 28, and 29. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Jesus saves his people, and he holds them secure in his own hand, and nobody, nothing can snatch his beloved from him. So Adam's work, it was big, but Christ was much more. And for all his people, it nullified that work, and he holds them secure now forever. That takes us to the second contrast that we find in verse 16. And we'll call this one condemnation versus justification. That's what you're seeing here in the text. Or, really, there is a major difference between an act that brings death to everyone and one that brings life to everyone who believes. Or there's a major difference between one act that brings death to everyone and then one act that's enough to pay for all the sins of all his chosen people for all of eternity. That's what's seen here in verse 16. Look at it. It says, "And the gift is not like." So there's your key word again, not like. You want to see that? Because that's the setup for another contrast. It's not like. If you're saying something is not like, you're pointing out the differences between it. And that's what Paul's doing here in 15, 16, and 17. He wants to show you the differences to emphasize that Christ is so much better. So it is not like, verse 16, that which came through the one who sinned. So once again, the idea of sinning, if you break down the word sin, it means to miss the mark. Literally, think of an archer who is shooting at a beautiful 10-point, and he misses it because he missed his mark, right? Horrible day if that ever happens to you. But he missed the mark, right? He didn't hit what he was aiming at. That's the idea of sin. You miss the mark. And so the context here is the gift of justification that paid for many sins, many offenses. It covered lots and lots and lots of missing the mark for all of God's people. We're contrasting that with condemnation. Adam's one act where he missed the mark, and it condemned all of mankind for all of eternity. You see which one's greater? Obviously Christ's. But let's pick it apart and see that. That which came through the one, Adam, who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation.